Good morning to you all. We welcome you to Grace Bible Church today. In our call to worship, I'm drawing your attention to 1 Peter chapter 1, three verses of Scripture, beginning at verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. In this passage of Scripture, Peter reminds us that the Old Testament prophets prophesied of the grace that should come to us. We're doing this series, The Old Testament for New Testament Believers, and I think it's important to see throughout the New Testament how many times they refer back to the Old Testament and said, "This you know because they said it then." Well, that means as believers in Christ, I need to know what they were saying at the time, so I can see its revelation in my time, its understanding. And that last phrase there in verse 12, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, if the angels desire to look into the things that were said in the Old Testament about us in the New Testament, about the grace that would come, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, but now revealed unto us, if the angels are interested in that, what should my interest be? Now, the angels do not have a sin nature in the sense that what we have as human beings. We know that there were fallen angels that rebelled against God, a third of them, and they were removed from heaven. But the angels know nothing about what it means to be redeemed. That's us. We know what that's about. And the angels want to know more about that. They're interested in learning that. They saw the sin and wickedness of the revelation of the human heart in the Old Testament times. They witnessed that. And the prophets that prophesied of the Spirit of Christ that would come in the future and would deliver His grace to them. The angels look into that with interest. You and I need to be better than the angels, amen? We need to be better than the angels. We need to know the Old Testament just like we know the New. We love the New Testament. I don't take anything away. But I won't understand the New Testament without grasping the foundation upon which the New Testament was built. I can brag on somebody's mansion. And I've been to some very special places. We've been up to Asheville, North Carolina, and gone through the Biltmore. Amazing, amazing place. But you know what all of that's sitting on? A foundation. Nobody goes in there and says, "Let's look at the foundation. Let's go around the perimeter and see the bricks that were involved with the foundation. Let's go inside and look." No, they're looking at all the beauty that's inside the building. And the last place you're looking at is the foundation. But that's the most important part. That's the most important part. That's what's holding everything up. Without the foundation, there is no building. And what is the foundation for the Christian? It's Jesus Christ. And He was revealed in the Old Testament. And He came to this earth in response to the promises of the Old Testament. And we give Him glory and praise today that we can meet together as New Testament believers, enjoying the grace that was delivered to us in Jesus Christ. Let's turn together in our hymn books to 491, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Let's stand together as we sing 491.
Oh,
comes to share God's prayer with us.
I'd like to greet everybody in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as humbly as we know how to thank you for waking us up. Thank you for all your blessings, Father, and thank you most of all for the salvation of our soul. Father, we need your guidance daily, and we ask that you could guide us, strengthen us, help us to be the light for the world to see through all these troubled times that we're seeing all around, Father. We know that one day you're going to come back, just as the Bible teaches us, and to receive us so that where you are, we may be also. Father, we ask your blessings on the service this morning. Bless our pastor, Brother Todd Brainerd, as he brings the message. Open our ears, Father. If there's anybody in the congregation that may need that's lost, that needs to hear the word, Father, open their ears and open their eyes, Father, so that they might seek after Jesus Christ, which is the only name given whereby men must be saved. Now, Father, we ask all these things, and we'll never fail to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all things. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Let's turn together now to number 545. 545, each step I take, my Savior goes before me. 545. Isn't that a wonderful reminder? Each step I take just leads me closer home. And we're not those that are not anxiously awaiting, that are so wrapped up in this world they can't even think about Jesus Christ. We need to be people that are looking up and understand and know that our Savior is coming, draweth nigh. We'll be caught up together to meet Him in the air, and we'll be with Him forevermore. That's a glorious promise. It's different from the second coming. In the second coming, He comes down to the earth. In the rapture, we go up to Him in the clouds. So there's a difference between the two. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity that we have to have that blessed hope in our hearts and lives. Let's turn together in our hymn books now to number 496. 496, "Are Ye Able," said the Master, "to be crucified with me?" 496.
Thank you.
I invite you this morning to take your Bibles and let's turn together to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're continuing in our series on the Old Testament for New Testament believers. And I want to draw your attention to this passage of Scripture because there's such a strong statement made about what was shared in the Old Testament for New Testament believers. And I've highlighted this verse that we're going to read today because it's so important for us to grasp what we should be looking for as we read and study the Old Testament. We began this series a few weeks ago with the premise that there are many today that say the Old Testament is not for the New Testament church. There's no reason for us to study the Old Testament because Jesus Christ has fulfilled everything. Therefore, we don't need to go back and look that. But here's the thing. Jesus Himself said we should search the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, for there you learn of Me, the One to come. Now, why would Jesus do that? Why would He bring that? We're going to be looking at some passages today, but I'm spending most of our time looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 because we are told something by Peter, related to the Old Testament, that we need to understand and know today as children that enjoy the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was foretold, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that grace would be enthroned in Jesus Christ. The grace that you and I enjoy each and every day is found in Jesus Christ, the One prophesied of in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, it says that the prophets had the Spirit of Christ in the Old Testament. They had the Spirit of Christ. What does that mean for us today who possess the Holy Spirit? He is the person of God that's been given to us, and He exalts who? Jesus Christ, none other than the Lord Himself. And so let's look at these verses. You can follow along in your Bible. You can look up here on the screen if you'd like. But it says that in the Old Testament, the prophets concerning salvation have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, he's not saying that there was no grace in the Old Testament, because we find grace all the time in the Old Testament. We see the Lord in His grace choosing a nation to be His people. Amen? He chose the nation of Israel, not because they were worthy, not because they were super spiritual among all the nations of the world. As a matter of fact, they proved that they were not. It was an act of God, whereby He chose a group of people known as the nation of Israel to be a light to the Gentile. Oh, they failed miserably. But through the nation of Israel, we find that there is a promised one, the Messiah. And He comes from the nation of Israel, specifically from the tribe of Judah. And He would come forth, and He would be born, prophesied in the Old Testament, where? In Bethlehem of Judea. So we're told about this one. David was told about Him in the covenant that was given to him, the Davidic covenant. It was promised to him that there would be a man that would come. 2 Samuel chapter 7, read it for yourself. The one who would come, the promised one that would be given. In Him would be manifested grace to the entire world. This grace that would be ministered not only to Israel, but to all the Gentiles that were alive at that time in the future, that this grace would come. As a matter of fact, John references this in chapter 1 where he said, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the prophets of the Old Testament prophesied of the grace that should come to us. And grace comes in the person of Christ, and Christ ministers grace to us each and every day. Isn't that wonderful? We have this thing that's prophesied in the Old Testament. Look at the next verse. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. As a matter of fact, if you read the book of Daniel, you see the number of days from the time of Daniel to what would take place. It would be the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The number of days were told us when that would take place. Now, why did God go to such detail? Because that would be the center of history at that moment. Grace and truth would come. He would be crucified. Oh, it's the end. No, it was the beginning. Because 3 days later, he was raised bodily from the tomb by the same Spirit that was manifested in the writers of the Old Testament Scripture, the Spirit of Christ. And so, it says, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What is the glory that should follow? That's His resurrection. That's His second coming. That's His manifestation in the millennial kingdom when He rules and reigns in Jerusalem and then for all eternity. That's the glory that awaits us. We're looking forward to that day. Boy, it looks pretty dire around the world, does it not? It's easy, Christians, for us to get kind of discouraged. You see all the stuff that's going on in Israel and how the nations of the earth and the United Nations this past week, all upset with Israel because of what has happened with the Palestinians, but they've been rooting out evil. And evil doesn't like for evil to be rooted out, does it? They always side, it seems like. The United Nations always sides with the wrong side. Why is that? Because they're satanically inspired, that's why. You can say, oh, that's just nonsense. No, it's not. There's no other explanation for why people hate Israel so. It's satanically inspired. And so the nations get up one by one and attack Israel, saying nothing about Hamas. Saying nothing about the cruelties and the beheadings of children. Saying nothing about, oh, it's Israel. 66,000 Palestinians have died. And nothing about the horrible people that were digging tunnels in there to do nothing but to kill and to use other Palestinians as human shields. This is not a political speech. This is a point that not only do they hate Israel, but they hate Christ. They hate Christ. He came, was manifested, as promised in the Old Testament. They looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, who would be crucified. He would suffer, but the glory that should follow. By the way, that glory is manifested toward a nation and toward us, is it not? It's manifested in the millennium. Where does He rule and reign from? What city? New York City? London? Moscow? No. What city? Everybody say it. Jerusalem. Jerusalem's where? It's in Israel. God's not done with the children of Israel. No matter what the new Calvinists say, no matter where they say, oh no, the church today is the new Israel. No, we're not. No, we're not. God made promises to the nation of Israel. He made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, and to David about what He was going to do with the nation of Israel. He's not done with them. But there's also something that was revealed by the Apostle Paul, and that was the church, the body of Christ, something that was not foretold in the Old Testament, something that was manifested in the New. What a beautiful picture. God having purposes not only for Israel, not only for the Gentiles, but also a third group known as the church. And you can read about that where Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Of the three different groups, can God have more than one purpose? Yes, He can. The main purpose is bringing glory unto His name. And He's going to do it with three tracks: what He does with the Gentiles, what He does with the nation of Israel, and what He does with the church and bringing her forth in the rapture back up to Him. What a glorious meeting that's going to be. Let's go to the third one. Unto whom it was, everybody say that word, please. Revealed. What does that mean? It means it was not known before. God kept it from us, but He chose to reveal it to us. Isn't it amazing, revelation that is given to us? We've been given so much, but there's many things that God has not told us. Brother Grover, looking forward to that mansion, amen? But you have no idea what it looks like, do you?
I know it'll be good.
Yes, it's going to be good because it's made with the hands of our Savior. Yeah, it's going to be made with the hands. Mr. O'Pager has no idea what his mansion looks like. But I can tell you this, this won't be part of it.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Won't be part of it. Because what's been revealed to us? We're going to have a body like unto His glorious body. And He revealed in the Old Testament, He revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things. There was an understanding back in the Old Testament days that they were revealing things that they weren't going to enjoy personally at that time. They would enjoy later. Daniel chapter 12 talks about the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. When they're brought forth, they are caused to stand. And they're going to be in their Savior's presence in a resurrected body. What a glorious promise. Made in Daniel chapter 12. Given to us to understand and know a revelation of yet something yet future that's going to take place. They will enjoy the millennial kingdom of Christ, the resurrected saints of the Old Testament. They're going to know what it's like to have Jesus on the throne.
Amen.
That is so wonderful and amazing. And you know what? There won't be a vote taken. That'll be a wonderful day. We don't have to worry about sticking our fingers in ink to show that we voted. We don't have to worry about when we put our ballot into the scanner whether it got counted or not. Because you see what? We don't vote for this. Jesus Christ will be King. Jesus Christ will be ruler. And the Old Testament tells us that. It was revealed not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. When you read the Old Testament, Christian, you need to be alert about something. There's a lot of things about Jesus in there. There's a lot of things about the Christ that would come. There's a lot of things about His crucifixion. There's a lot of things about His resurrection. There's a lot of things that are included there to minister to our soul so I can understand and appreciate the grace that I have now that others in the past only look forward to. You know what Paul warned the Corinthians about? Use not the grace of God in vain. That is a warning that stands out in the New Testament. The grace was prophesied in the Old Testament. You're now enjoying it. Don't use it in vain. Have you ever gotten a tool bin in the mail that you ordered and you really don't know how to use it? Maybe it's one of those amp meters. Those are the most confusing things in the world. They have these special meters that you can plug into your car. You know, when you get an engine code and you plug it in there, I'm going to find out what the problem is. And it just has a whole string of codes on there. What in the world? You have to go get a book to find out what the code means so you can figure out what's going on. And sometimes it doesn't work like you want it to, and it can be frustrating, like a check engine light itself. You're thinking the worst. It's going down. $10,000, that's what's in my future. And it may just be a little sensor that went out. It's just a generic type thing. And sometimes we don't know how to use the tool. God's grace is a tool for Christian living. It's what allows you to live life here upon this earth. With the presence of the Holy Spirit and the gift of His grace, I can exist here upon this earth and I can be used for His glory and for His praise. And the angels look upon this and say, I wish we could participate in that part. To minister grace to us that the angels don't get to enjoy? You say, yeah, but they're living in heaven. Yes, they are. But they don't know what it means to be redeemed from sin. Is there any hope for Satan? No. Is there any hope for the third of the angels that are cast out of heaven? The Bible says it's reserved unto them judgment. No hope of redemption. No hope of being changed and transformed into a new creature, because they chose to rebel against Christ. And so they have their judgment. But here we are as lost sinners, thumbing our nose at God, and yet He has made redemption possible for us. Isn't that wonderful? And then He ministers this grace beyond salvation. He ministers this grace on a daily basis, just pouring out His grace. So we can deal with all the circumstances and the bad things that happen in life and the good things that happen in life. His grace is there to minister and to mold and to make us. That is a gift, folks, that the Old Testament prophets said, prophesied, it should come unto us. And we're the recipient. Are we using the grace of God in vain? How do you use the grace of God in vain? Well, let me just give you some simple illustrations. You've got a need in your home. Who's the first person you go to with your need? Yeah, but it's just a refrigerator. Can God provide refrigerators? Can He give guidance about which one to get? Well, why would you bother God with some stupid request like that? Let me just say something. Nothing stupid in the life of a Christian. You can ask God for a refrigerator. You can go to God when you stump your toe out in the yard and it's throbbing and hurting like it. Lord, would you please take away the pain? And then help me, Father, to pick up my feet when I'm walking in the yard. That's my first question. Well, actually, my first question, did anybody see me do it? Yeah, that's usually what I do. Oh, looking around, checking, there'll be three squirrels over there laughing. And there were witnesses to what just happened. They ministered in a time when grace was not enthroned like it is now, because Jesus Christ has come. And He has set up and enthroned His grace so that all can come to repentance, so that all can receive the truth. But sadly, there are people that don't use the grace of God. They turn their backs upon it. They turn their backs upon the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of His resurrection and the truth of the salvation that He can bring to your life, whereby you are transformed and taken from the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light. How can you turn your back on that? But it happens every day. It happens every day. Every time I drive down, I think it's Elba Street, I go by the New Milton Cemetery on the left-hand side, and then I go by the old cemetery, Old Milton Cemetery on the right. And you look across there and you see all the cedar trees and all the grave sites of thousands and thousands of people that lived in Milton at one time, that used to be riding the streets, maybe in a buggy with a horse, or maybe a Model T, or maybe, you know, walking the streets, that they walked by that same cemetery, not maybe as many people in there. Those were all lives lived, and you wonder, I wonder how many of them used the grace of God in vain. God ministered preaching to their souls. God ministered His word to their souls, and they said, I want none of that. I don't want that. I'm not interested in that. That's using the grace of God in vain. But Christians, you can do the same thing. The Lord has offered His power and His strength to live the Christian life, and you say, I got it. I don't need that. You can use the grace of God in vain by not actuating it in your daily life, calling upon it in your daily life. When there's a decision that needs to be made and you really don't know what the answer is to it. There are simple things to keep in mind. Do right. There's simple things. When you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. There are just tons of Bible verses. That's the grace of God. The word that you possess is a manifestation. The Old Testament prophets only had portions that Moses had written by inspiration. And the New Testament people, all they had was the Old Testament. But it was part of the grace. Now we have the New Testament and the Old Testament in one book, and our Bibles sit on the dashboard of our vehicles. and curl up in the Florida sun, and we're not reading and studying it, you're using the grace of God in vain. He's ministered grace through His Word, and you're not benefiting from it. You're not taking it in. There's many ways that we turn away from the grace of God in our lives, and yet they look forward to the day when that grace would be manifested to us. How can we, in the time in which we live, with the blessings that we possess, turn away from His grace? The Old Testament screams out, take it! Appropriate it! We long for that day that it would come, and yet we seem numb to it. Let's go ahead. I want to take you to another verse. John 1:45 stands out in my mind. John chapter 1, glorious chapter, tells us about the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who is that? Jesus Christ. The grace and truth would be ministered to through Jesus Christ. And this is what Philip said to Nathanael. We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We have found Him. You know, it's interesting to find things. Adam Watt came to me, this is back several years ago, you still have your metal detector? And yes, my wife's lost her ring. I said, whereabouts do you think you lost? I think it was out here in the back. So I went and got my metal detector out, and I went out there, and I just went round and round. I went through the whole parking lot, and then I came up on this high-pitched tone, beep, 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 beep. So I stopped right there, and I centered it on it, hit the pin pointer where it told me where it was, and I started flicking the dirt aside, and there it was. Wow. Yeah. I couldn't see it. Adam couldn't see it. Megan couldn't see it, but it was there the whole time, hidden. It took a treasure finder, a metal detector, to pop it up where you can see where it was at so we could retrieve it. Listen, grace is one of those gems that sometimes is hidden, and yet it shouldn't be. And the presence of the Holy Spirit acts like a metal detector. As you read the Old Testament, it just goes off all the time. Here's the Lord Jesus. Beep, beep, beep. It's right here. Well, I didn't see that there. But there it is. A promise about His coming. A promise about the grace that would be ministered. The metal detector, the Holy Spirit. And here's Philip. And he pulls aside Nathanael. And he said, we have found Him. He was talked about where? Everybody say it. Old Testament. He was there, talked about. We found Him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. And you know who it is? He used His earthly name, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Christ come in the flesh. Christ incarnate in the flesh. You know, without Christ becoming flesh, you and I have no hope. Yep. God didn't die on the cross. Make sure you never say that. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus, the one who identified with me, took upon Himself human flesh and dwelt among us, and He went to that cross and He died, the Son of Man, that we as mankind might live forever and ever, and that we might have a new body. When He was resurrected, He wasn't the same human Jesus. He was in a resurrected body. He did all kinds of things. He was at Galilee, appeared before them. He was down in Jerusalem, appeared before them, appeared like He just passed through the walls. That's not a normal body. That's a glorified body. And one day, Christian, we're going to have a body like unto His glorious body. That's a promise that's made. We found Him! Don't you get excited when you find something that you've lost? Philip was excited. One more passage. 2 Corinthians 3:14-15. But their minds were blinded, talking about the nation of Israel. Their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Wow. The Jewish people, when they read the Old Testament, they had a veil over them and they could not see whom? Jesus Christ. It was like a veil was over them. Which veil is done away in Christ. It should be done away with. They should see it. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that it will not be until the end of the tribulation that the leftover remnant of Israel will turn and they'll see the one whom they have pierced and they will believe on him after the horrors that have just transpired over 7 years of judgment upon what nation? Israel. Because they would not accept the Messiah. They had a veil over their face. We cannot see him. We cannot know him. He's yet future. They still say it to this very hour. Jesus was not the Messiah. We look for that Messiah. And they will think that they have found him in the Antichrist when he comes. They'll believe it. He'll bring peace to the land. But after 3.5 years, the Bible says that he will slaughter a pig there on the altar in Jerusalem. And the horrors of the last half of the tribulation will be poured out upon the nation of Israel because they believed a lie. They believed a lie. The veil kept them. A self-imposed veil, because the Bible says that the veil was done away with in Christ. But they went and pulled it back up and put it back on again. Don't live with a veil, Christian. Jesus has done it away. When you read the Old Testament, you need to see Jesus Christ. You need to be looking for him. You'll find him too, by the way. When you look for him, the Bible says you'll find him. He's not going to hide himself. Self-imposed veils will keep you from seeing it. But if you let the veil be done away in Jesus Christ, you can see his person. Even to this day, when Moses is read, their veil is upon what? Their heart. This is a sickening feeling that comes over me. When you witness to somebody and they don't want to talk about the Lord, they've got their own ideas. It's a sickening feeling. I've told you several times in the past about my neighbor growing up who had said all through the years, I'm a Christian because my parents were Christians. You don't need to witness to me. He gave me my first job in high school, and I witnessed to him. And I'd call him by name. He insisted that he be called by his first name all the time we were growing up. He was just Barney. And we loved Barney. Every Christmas day, he'd come and you'd hear a knock at the door. Bump, 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 bump. And we kids would go to the door and he would have a big roll of pennies for us, for the kids. And he'd give them to each one of us. Merry Christmas. Nice guy. Believed he was saved because he was born in a Christian home. I don't need all that atonement stuff. I don't need all this stuff that you're talking about here. Think about it for just a moment. The veil was over their heart. And for the most part, it still is in Israel. The hardest place to witness on earth is in the nation of Israel. They've got it. They don't want it. Oh, we worship the same God. No, they reject Jesus. He's God. God manifested in the flesh. The Messiah. Oh, he's not the Messiah. We're still looking for one. You understand what that darkness brings? It brings death, not life. I want us to know and understand as we continue this series, and we're going to start getting into some passages in the Old Testament as we move through. We're going to see Christ revealed in the Old Testament. He's revealed in the book of Genesis. He's revealed in Exodus. You go through all the books of the Bible and Jesus Christ is revealed there. Why, we ask? Why is there so many types and shadows and things of that nature? Because he would come with clarity one day. And with him would come truth and grace that would be enthroned for us. And yet we live in this world and we see all the things that are happening in this world and we see a world that has rejected grace. That's what it is. Every religion in the world is a substitute for the grace of God. Every religion, every faith premise is a rejection of the grace of God because He's been revealed. He's been enthroned. He was the one that was promised in the Old Testament and now has been revealed and is coming again someday. Would you bow your heads, please? In this moment of quiet, I hope and pray that you've had some thoughts and examinations of your own life. Are we guilty of just spinning through the Old Testament, no big deal? I want to go to the New Testament, spend all my time there. Well, it's wonderful to be in the New Testament. You ought to study the New Testament. But you also ought to study and see how Jesus Christ was revealed in the Old Testament and how the prophets talked about the grace that should come to us. It'll mean more. The grace of God will mean more when you understand what it meant to the Old Testament saints, looking forward to it. Maybe there's someone here without the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I don't know your heart, but God does. In this moment of quiet, would you just talk to Him? Maybe you need to tell Him, Lord, I've been ignoring the Old Testament. Maybe I just hit the Psalms and that's about it. Proverbs. There's so much revealed about Christ. Grace will come in clarity when you understand the Old Testament. The truth of Christ will come with clarity when you understand the Old Testament. Maybe you're here without the Savior this morning and you need to turn to Christ. Would you cry out to Him at this moment? Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you're a Christian here, would you cry out to God and say, Lord, may I appreciate Your grace more and more. May I not use the grace of God in vain. May Jesus Christ live in my heart and life. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray in this small group of people that Your Holy Spirit would work. There's so many things that You want to teach us in Your Word. And sometimes we have these preconceived ideas about the Old Testament books, and we think they're not important. But they are very important. They're the foundation upon which the superstructure of the New Testament is built. The death of the testator reveals the Old Testament purposes. Lord, I pray that we might be like Philip, speaking to Nathanael. We have found Him. We have found the one that was prophesied by Moses and the prophets. We found Him, and it's Jesus. Lord, may no one leave this room today without the Lord Jesus Christ. For I ask it in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Would you take your hymn books, please, and let's turn together to number 474. 474. A hymn that reminds us, take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but His love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Let's stand together as we sing on that first stanza. 474, take the world, but give me Jesus. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd work in hearts today. Lord, You know each individual need. You know those that are trusting in You, those that believe the testimony of the Word of God, and those who don't. Some who know a little bit about the door, but don't know the door. It's not enough to just know a little bit about the door, which is Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would bring about conviction in hearts. And I pray especially for us as believers that We would not use the grace of God in vain, to ignore it, to live our lives apart from it. It's easy to do. So many distractions, so many things that would draw us away from the truth of Jesus Christ. But I pray that you would work in our hearts today. Strengthen us. May we determine to be more in your book each and every day. That we would allow the Holy Spirit to teach us your blessed word. That we would not substitute other writings for the truth of the word of God. Oh, there's benefit found in commentaries and things, but sometimes we kind of miss because we're trusting what men have written about it rather than trusting what the Holy Spirit shares in His Word. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen us in that regard. And I pray that You would use us this week. There are people that we're going to come in contact with that don't know the Savior. And we have the wonderful opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ. May we do so. May we be prepared to do so, to share with them the Word of God and to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, dismiss us now with Thy blessing. Watch over your people, and I pray that you'd encourage us and strengthen us and allow us to be back together again this evening, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.